If we've been your job search besties and helped you in some way, there's a cool way you can support the show. Shout us a virtual coffee.
As an independent podcast, we couldn't do what we do without your support. Head to buymeacoffee.com/interviewboss.
If you keep us caffeinated, we'll keep the content coming.
Oh, I think these are the worst. If you are invited for a casual chat
with the CEO, there's nothing casual about that.
No, do you know that this happens? This is common.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to Interview Boss. My name is Emma. I'm a radio journalist who's teamed up with my sister to give you advice, inspiration, and support when you're looking for a new job. Sarah is a HR and recruitment professional, and together we're excited to give you all the tips, tricks, and behind-the-scenes knowledge to help you in your career.
Hey Em, and welcome back, our incredible listeners. It's time for our Shoot Your Shot shout-out, where we give you guys, our incredible listeners, a big fat shout out. You've gone out there, you've shot your shot, you've used our tips, you've got some updates for us. Em, this week it's Caroline. She bought us two coffees. Thanks, Caroline.
Yes, she said, I found you girls a couple of years ago and listened to the Listen to This right before your interview episode. I didn't get the job. Fast forward a couple of months and I was ready to apply for another position, and I started re-listening to most of your podcasts. I was sick and tired of telling people that I was shit at interviews. The podcasts were great, but I needed more, so I enrolled in Interview Academy. The timing was perfect as I applied for a position at the same time and thought, if I get the interview, I'll be happy. I got the interview and had 2 weeks to prepare. So I completed the course and listened to about 30 or more podcasts and finished the course during this time, 2 days before the interview. This position is two levels above my current role. I work in New South Wales Health. I was so confident going into the interview, but nervous as usual. I walked out thinking I didn't get the job as I didn't answer some questions as well as I thought I should. Today, I received a letter of offer. Now, the base of the salary band is what I was expecting, which is 13K more than I'm currently earning. However, they offered me 14K more than that. My new income is 27K more. Thank you so much. Before listening to your podcasts, I would have never in my wildest dreams applied for a job at this level. I'm in shock but ecstatic.
I love that so much. Like, what a big pay rise. That's amazing. Do you know what my favorite part of the whole thing is, though?
What's that?
I was sick and tired of telling people that I was shit at interviews. Mm. That's my favorite line. Like, she's sick of it. Like, I just love that attitude of like, I'm over it. I'm done with being bad at this. I'm not going to be bad at it anymore.
It's the stories that we tell ourselves that become our reality mm-hmm. and our perception. So this is epic, and not often, well, I feel like we don't hear too often of people getting enormous pay rises in health where there's set bands, but they wanted to offer her more regardless.
So incredible. And Interview Academy shout out. I love that she signed up before she actually had the interview booked. I think like it works really well. You can do it over a weekend. But I think it works really well if you're doing that stuff in advance. So you've got some things ready already. Like you've got an idea of your best bits already. You've got your story. And then when you get the interview, you're tweaking things just for that interview that's actually come through. I think that works really well.
Yes, so good to be preparing when you're not in the pressure cooker knowing I've got 2 days left. That just makes it so much more stressful.
Totally. If you want to be like Caroline and you need Interview Academy, or maybe you need more personalized one-on-one support, check out our options, interviewboss.com.au/coaching. Compare the academy, the coaching, which one's right for you. And as usual, if you liked one of our episodes or used one of our tips, or you want to request an episode, you've got a question, slide into our DMs after you kindly follow us on Instagram, and maybe we'll do an episode on your situation.
This week, we're talking about casual interviews and how to not get caught out by thinking it's just an informal chat and kind of shooting yourself in the foot.
Yeah. This was a little bit inspired by someone who not necessarily asked a question, but came into our DMs talking about an interview that they had coming up. And they were like, oh, this first round, it's just a chat with the hiring manager, just a casual chat. And they were saying, like, how should I prepare for that? And I'm going, well, it's an interview. So you prepare like it's an interview. And it reminded me that this is something that I think catches a lot of people out because, yes, it probably is a more casual format. Like, it's not like, I don't want people to be like, it's a trick. We don't believe in tricks here. It probably is more casual, but I don't want that to mean that you don't prepare. It is still an interview. It is still a part of a hiring process that they're doing. Like, they're still looking to understand.
So where are people getting this perception? Is it the interviewer that's telling them, yeah, just come in, we'll have a bit of a casual chat? Like, are we blaming them? Why are they telling people it's just a casual chat if it really is an interview?
But it is a casual chat. Like, it's a casual chat. Does that make sense? Like, hey, Em, first round of the process, like, just come in and we'll go out for a coffee and I'll just get to know you a little bit. But it's still the first stage of the process. Does that make sense? Like, it is a casual chat. We're going to be in a casual environment, maybe. Like, I'm not lying to you. It is a casual chat. The interviewers maybe just don't understand how it might be interpreted. Does that kind of make sense? They kind of assume probably that, like, the subtext is, obviously, this is still a part of the process. Like, sure, if you're the kind of person who does really well ad hoc, talking about things, explaining things, whatever, you'll probably do fine. Like, you could probably get away with winging this a little bit more so than a normal interview. But I think most of our listeners are going to benefit from organizing your thoughts in advance. So it's going to be more conversational. It's going to be more back and forth. But remember, we've done those episodes about, like, when you have a bad interviewer and they don't ask you any questions.
Yes.
This might be a bit like that. Prep is still going to be so helpful. Like, it's not going to be the formal kind of set question response type scenario, but being able to weave in your stories is going to be hugely beneficial. What do you think? Do you have the perspective now of why neither one is doing anything wrong? We're just getting a bit confused on both sides.
Yeah, I guess it would still be helpful if the interviewer didn't say, it's just a casual chat, because I feel like that's just setting it off on the wrong foot. But I do understand that it's still an interview process. And it's not as if we're going out for a casual chat to chat about what are our hobbies and what do you like to do on the weekend? Obviously, it's a casual chat, but about how you could possibly slot into this role.
Yes. And I think, like, I'm not trying to massively defend interviewers here. Yes, I think they could be so much clearer about, like, you still want to do some prep for it, but the format will be casual. But I think what they're trying to do is reassure people. Like, have you heard people talk about the more formal an interview is with a panel or, like, behind a desk or, like, really rigid, it's more intimidating. So they're almost trying to be like, cool, don't worry. It's like, we're just going to have a bit of a back and forth. Like, it's going to be in a more warm environment, I guess.
Maybe they could use the word informal.
Yeah, potentially. Yeah. And look, sometimes this can be in a different part of the process. So to kind of set the scene, it can be had, like, early in the process. Again, the person who DM'd us was talking about that was actually the first stage, is that the hiring manager was going to have a casual chat. So that could be the first round. It could also be had later in the process. Like, I've seen this a lot where, you know, you've got two candidates or maybe you've got one and, like, you're kind of sure about hiring them, but you just, like, you just didn't really get to know them enough. The manager's just not sure. So sometimes you'll suggest, hey, why don't you just go meet them for a coffee? Like, go meet them near their work or somewhere they can pop out for 15 minutes and just get to have a little bit more back and forth with them. Ask them that one question that you didn't get to or whatever. And if you come back feeling more sure, great. Otherwise, you know, we can move on and whatever. Like, it might reinforce what you're thinking. So it can be had later in the process after all the formal interview stuff is done. Could be the manager, so, like, the hiring manager. It could be a colleague or a team member.
The team always confuses people. I feel like they've nailed maybe two or three interviews and then the next stage they're like, they told me they want me to come in to meet the team and just have a chat to everyone in the office. Like, what does this mean? But really, that should also be prepared for in a similar way.
Yeah, totally. You still should prepare for that. Like, if that was for whatever reason, the first round or something, and you hadn't done any prep yet, absolutely you should be prepared. Probably you don't need to do any, like, specific prep for meeting the team. Like, if you've already been preparing this whole process, like, all of that is just the same stuff. But to give you some context, sometimes the reason you might do that is, imagine you've got a team and you've got someone in that team who isn't the manager. And maybe they don't even want to be, or maybe they're not even really at that level yet or whatever, but they're a really critical part of that team. Like, they're very important. Like, we want to make sure that that person is happy with their new manager. They're someone that we care about, but we're not going to have them join the interview panel because that would be kind of weird, them interviewing their new boss. Do you know what I mean? Like, there might be a really different difference of level here. So you want them to feel included in the process. You might have them go for coffee with the person. You want them to meet them before they've been hired. It includes them in the process. You get to have their feedback. They might have some really good insights, but also it's not like that person's not the decision maker, unless in the absence of some massive red flags that they were to bring to you, like, you're kind of doing what you were already doing anyway, but it's a nice step where they each get to meet before it's official. So those things can happen as well.
Could be a senior person.
Oh, I think these are the worst. If you are invited for a casual chat
with the CEO, there's nothing casual about that.
No, do you know that this happens? This is common. And I think it happens in like private businesses where it's like a founder or an owner or something like that, because they're important, but they're sometimes just a bit more of a casual type person. Like, they're not really that good at interviewing people or whatever. They're just like, just let me look at them and I'll suss out their vibes.
Make sure they don't have an eyebrow piercing. That's the kind of energy it is, isn't it? It's like they have no clue what the role does, how it works, the function of them. They just need to stamp their authoritative stamp on it. And
yes, they just want to feel like they've been involved in the process. But do not get put off by that.
It's like when your mum makes you let your little brother play PlayStation with you, but you unplug his controller. You just hand it to him and let him press the buttons so he feels like he's doing something.
Emma doesn't have a little brother, just for context. Like, neither of us have a little brother. So you must have borrowed that from TV or a friend or something like that.
Yeah.
Did you have a friend's little brother that you would unplug their controller?
No. It's just a good analogy.
We didn't even have really games that we played. You've just pulled that from everyone else's collective
experience. Yeah, everyone else will enjoy that one.
You're being relatable even though you didn't go through it.
Yeah.
That's great. It is a bit like that sometimes. And sometimes that CEO, like I said before, how they're not the decision maker when it's the colleague or whatever, or the team member. Well, in this situation, it's like you've unplugged the controller, but they can still go off and switch off the machine, you know, like they can derail the whole interview process by being like, no, I didn't get good vibes. And it's like, based on what? You didn't ask any interview questions. So if you have a CEO casual chat, that is even more so, you shouldn't be put off by the fact that it's casual. You should prepare as if it's an interview, because particularly if you're several levels away from that CEO, it will be more formal than what you expect just by the way that executives communicate. They can tend to be very direct and very upfront. So if you're at their level, you might be more familiar with that and it might actually feel a little bit more casual. But if you're not, it will feel like a formal interview in a casual scenario. So be warned.
So where do people go wrong with this? We already know that a lot of people don't prepare for it enough because they're just not even thinking it's in the realm of interview category.
Yes.
What else?
Yeah. I think so. That's kind of probably the most common, but probably the next one is that maybe they did even prepare, but they go in the wrong mindset and they kind of let their guard down a bit by the back and forth nature, and they kind of get too relaxed by the casual nature of the back and forth. And so they're not weaving any stories in, they're not giving any examples, they're just enjoying the chat. They've kind of completely lost sight of the fact that it's meant to be an interview. And at the end of the day, they still need to be learning things about you. Like, that's the point. They're not there to just chit chat. Like, they do actually want to learn stuff about you. So you should be kind of thinking about, how can I tell this story? How can I give this example? And not being like, I really enjoyed that project. Like, being too blasé about their stories and examples and their achievements.
And then on the other end of the spectrum, sometimes they can make it way too formal and treat every chit-chat question as a full-on formal interview question. So the person could be like, here we really love letting people, you know, share their own ideas, and then you interjecting being like, I like sharing ideas. Last week,
yes.
And it's
yes.
like,
Yes.
They're just having a more general chat about how things work here and you're like misreading the energy.
I think this is probably the least common, to be honest, but I have seen that before. And I think it comes out of this kind of like sell yourself kind of mindset where you're like, everything's a question. It's all a test. It's a trick. Like I have to, you know, that's not the energy that we're bringing either. As much as we are trying to participate in the conversation, we want to be prepared and organized with our ideas. We're not trying to force sell all of the stuff with every word that they say. Like it is probably going to be a bit more conversational and there can be great things about that too. Hey, Interview Boss listeners, if the podcast just isn't doing it for you and you need way more help to prep for your next interview, we have the perfect thing for you. Interview Academy. Em, tell us all about it.
This is huge. This is the love child of Sarah after doing hundreds of one-on-one coaching sessions, finding out what people struggle with the most, common mistakes. Sarah has created the ultimate course that you can do in your own time, self-paced, heaps of modules, videos, interactive quizzes, a workbook that will become your Bible by the end that you can take with you into your interview. Because if you're a long-time listener, you know that we endorse taking notes into your interview. It's a game changer.
Check out more about it at interviewboss.com.au/interview academy. So that brings us to our next section. What should you be doing?
Prepare like it's any other old interview.
Yeah. I also think something as a bonus you could do that we do recommend for regular interviews too, but remember we did that episode on preparing your small talk?
Yes. Oh my God. I got caught out in my workplace kitchen yesterday. I was just having a bad day and a beautiful, lovely colleague who I adore was in the kitchen and was like, how have you been? And I did a whole little, oh, a bit flat today. Gosh, I'm struggling, a bit tired. And she's like, yeah. And then the conversation went somewhere else. I asked how her holiday was. And then she's like, anyway, what have you been up to? I just acted as if I have no life, no aspirations, no hopes and dreams. I don't know anybody. I just sit in a room all day. Like, and it was so pathetic and I was racking my brain.
Like, really, you've like worked on the podcast. You've done all these activities that you've been telling me about and stuff.
I went lap swimming.
And
then you're like, I play Oz Tag.
You're launching a new podcast. You play Oz Tag. Yeah. There's so many things.
I'm the busiest and most overwhelmed I've ever been.
You've been hanging out with our brand new nephew.
That is one thing I managed to say. Finally, after stuttering for about 5 minutes, I was like, oh, I mean, I've got a new little nephew. So I'm just, you know, soaking up time with that. And it made me, after that, I was like, right, that's it. Every morning, I'm brainstorming my small talk for the day because I hate being called out where you're like, all of a sudden, I don't know what I've been doing. It sucks.
Yes, I know. Sometimes when you're on the spot, you're like, well, I can't think of anything. I often, since I thought of this or came across this kind of concept, I've done that in offices where I always have a thing that's kind of top of the list that I will just be my go-to. And it works the best. It's less so when you're actually talking to a colleague that you get along with and you're actually sharing more about your life. And like you go deeper than that and you can just talk about whatever. It's more for like you're literally in the hallway and somebody that you don't normally talk to is like, oh, what have you been up to? And it's like you've only got like, you know, you can't be giving them a full life story. You need like a headline, what I've been up to, something interesting.
I'm renovating the house. I've just built a veggie garden. Yeah. I'm car shopping.
I often pick things that are like widely relatable or like different or interesting that I kind of did. Oh, I actually went to this like really cool kind of violin show thing on the weekend. It was really awesome. It was like Irish, modern, whatever, something like that. And I'll be like, cool, this is the thing that I'm going to say for the next 2 weeks. When I go to that thing, I'm like, this is what I'm going to talk about for the next 2 weeks.
You're clinging on to that entertainment for the next fortnight.
And then you need a new one and you're like, cool, what's the new one? And maybe something like the nephew or the renovation or whatever. Maybe that's your baseline. Like when you've got these bigger things going on in your life, that's your fallback. Like if I don't have something else to mention, that's going to be what I mention for the next however long.
I know, but like I can't just keep telling people I'm playing with my nephew every day. I need fresh content.
I know, but that's your fallback. That's your fallback option. You recycle new events. Like, oh, we just got into the finals in Oztag, or like, oh, I've been swimming a lot because the weather's nicer. Like swimming can be your thing for the next 3 weeks.
Like, I'd like to thank my nephew Ren for being born so that he can be my backup small talk for the rest of my life, basically.
Yeah, well, oh, he's just turned one. So that was really exciting. Like, you can just keep using that. It's going to be great.
He started soccer. It's his first day at school. He clapped yesterday.
I guess this is maybe how parents at work, there's always those particular ones who like only ever talk about the milestones of their kid, even when you don't really know them that well and you just know all the stuff that's going on in their kid's life, even though you probably don't know like whether they're married or not. Like, they talk about their kid so much. I see how it happens. It's like an easy source of information. It's small talk.
Everyone in my life at work laughs that I'm so good at cosplaying whatever the person I'm talking to is. So if I'm talking to the mums, I'm asking all the right things. Like, I was having a chat with a colleague the other day who's like, yeah, well, it's Maddie's birthday party coming up. She wants to have all the kids around and, oh, not sure what I'm going to do with, you know, 10, 12-year-olds. And I was like, have a TikTok party, get the dancers out, you know, get ready with me. And she's like, that's a great idea. And I'm just like, always, I'm like, they'd love it, you know, they'd be entertained for hours, set up some hula hoops.
I'd be like, makeup party, like get the little tents that they get to sleep in overnight or whatever, like that
anyway,
stuff.
Anyway, I'm so good at just cosplaying whoever I'm talking to in the office. Like, if it's a cyclist, suddenly I'm asking about the latest gadgets of cycling.
Yeah. Yeah. Honestly, I think it just goes from being a bit curious. Like, I like learning things about all sorts of new stuff. And like, I'm really not a gardening person. But if someone was telling me all about their gardening stuff, I would be like, oh, that's interesting. Like, how do you grow that stuff? Or like, how did you get into it? Or do you plant them in the ground or in a garden bed? Like, I'd be asking questions.
How does one get a strong yield?
I saw a blooper video just come across my feed the other day of, I think it's an English kind of morning talk show host. And she was talking about how her corn is growing really, really well, but she hasn't gotten any actual corn yet. And the plants look super healthy, but when she pulls them up, there's no corn. And the guy's like, corn doesn't grow under the ground.
What?
She thought they were like carrots.
She's been pulling out the bulbs. Like the
she's been pulling the roots out and being like, oh, there's no corn there.
Oh, my God. That's not good.
Oh, that's so funny. Okay, so we're preparing like it's any other interview and we're preparing our small talk, but we are not going into full formal interview mode. That is almost equally bad. In fact, I think it's even worse because, like, if you're not giving them anything, the interviewer might at least coach you, but it's going to be weird if they start coaching you to be like, relax. Like, they're not going to feel comfortable doing that. It's going to be really, really weird. The key that we're kind of going for here is that we want our ideas organized. You may not be using your best bits in the exact same way where you're like, yeah, so let me tell you about a time when, and you're going into a full launch story. At least you've got these ideas organized of, I can relate to that. I can relate to that. Like, you've remembered what happened in that scenario. You're not trying to randomly regurgitate that from your memory on the spot in a casual environment. Like, that might be really hard.
And would you also be like, I imagine that you'd be able to weave questions in through the interview rather than waiting till the end. So you'd be like, oh, I'm wondering, when it comes to this, how do you guys do that? Because at my old workplace, I used to do this, and you could kind of weave in a soft best bit while presenting it as a question.
Yes, exactly. And again, this is not meant to be like a trick or a sales thing. It's how conversations work. But your questions can be part of the actual conversation. So yeah, I was going to ask, you mentioned the team. Tell me a little bit more about them. Like, I've working a team at the moment, and that's honestly one of my favorite things about this industry is working together, like who's in the team. And then they get to tell you and you're like, oh, great. Well, I can relate to XYZ, like whatever. You definitely need your career story, which AKA is your tell me about yourself, like your intro. You have to have that ready because there's going to be like a cool, tell me a little bit about you. Like, particularly if this is the first time you've met the person. If it's not the first time you've met them, then obviously, you know, not as relevant, but you're going to need to do that intro. You might want to pull out a bit of a quicker, less detailed version, right? Than a formal interview. We need to adapt ourselves to the scenario. It's a bit more like maybe the version that you would use on a phone screen. It's like a bit shorter. We're not going into it quite as much detail, but you definitely want to have that ready.
Yes. And definitely still bring the questions that you want to ask. You can still write them down in your notebook. You might not have got a chance throughout the chat to weave in every single one. So you can still revise and ask them at the end.
And speaking of notebooks, you can absolutely still bring that if you like. It's still there for notes and for examples and stuff. I think it would be kind of weird to be looking at it to then tell a story. Like, it's meant to be a bit more casual than that. But you could take notes if there are things that you're talking about. Like, remember, we're talking about the team. If I had a notebook with me and I wanted to know about the team and they said four people in the team or whatever, I would write that down because I'm going to bloody forget between now and the next interview. So I would write that down. That is normal. That's what you would do if you went for a coffee chat with your boss in a different area or whatever. Like, you would bring something to take a couple of notes on.
Yes. Note-taking is so reassuring. I recently trained someone who didn't take a single note. And it bothered me so much. I got that close to being like, are you going to write any of this down? Or do you have photographic ears? Because, like, I just know that you're not going to remember any of this at all.
Yeah. Equally, though, I worked with someone who was obsessed with taking notes, and I had to have a couple of conversations with them about it because they were writing down my every word. And I was like, look, I'm going to need you to change the way you're thinking about this. This is not a university lecture. My every word is not going to be helpful. What you do when you're writing down notes from a university lecture, maybe you go home later and look at them. I need you to process what I'm saying now live and write down just the bits that you need to remember. Like, I need you to be using your brain, not just like ears to hand kind of. You know, you're not even paying attention, you're just writing things down.
Somewhere in the middle would be nice.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. That would be nice if you're learning. That's a pro tip for when you get the job.
So in the interview, everyone will be different. It's not like there's a playbook or a script for the interviewer. So there's going to be an element of you're not sure what this person's going to be like, what their style of chatting will be. Like, we cannot predict that.
Yes. And often, like, just again, in defense of, like, they told me it was going to be casual and then it wasn't. There are so many reasons that could happen. The person might think that they are being casual and they are not being casual. Or the recruiter has told this person to be casual and then they're not. Or a whole combination of the other things. There could be a massive miscommunication about what it's meant to be.
Maybe how it currently is, to them, that is more casual than what they're used to.
Yes. They're not grilling you as much as they normally
would.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So just be prepared for anything. And again, that's why we're preparing like any other interview. If it happens to go a little bit more formal than you're expecting, great. You're still prepared. You've got your notebook, like, you're ready. You could be out of the office for coffee in a coffee shop or sitting on the, you know, a little tiny little metal table on the side of a road somewhere or something. That could be the kind of vibe that you're going for. You could go on a walk. Like, I've seen that happen before.
Ugh, surely not.
Yeah. Yeah. It could just be in a meeting room, but it's just like it's still in an interview kind of room. But it's just a little bit more like there's no notes from them. They haven't got their laptop with them. They're just kind of, you know, ad-libbing a little bit. It might be more about the questions and the conversation versus the setting.
And it might be useful to break up your career story or be prepared to tell it in a shortened way, giving the quick summary and then maybe in your best bit weaving, you're going into more detail about, yeah, well, after that I jumped here and that's where I got to do this really cool project.
Yep, exactly. Think about some strategies to have ready that are more casually kind of weaving in some of your best bits. So like, oh, that sounds interesting. Yeah, I've done some similar stuff to that. When I was here, we actually did XYZ, like being able to give those little anecdotes and examples and then be prepared for them to kind of follow up. In this kind of back and forth, you don't have to give the full story completely up front. You might just want to give like a really short overview of that best bit and then allow them to kind of go back and forth. It is a different format, but having an idea of what are the things that you want them to know about you is the same.
So, moral of the story, if it walks like a duck and it talks like a duck and it looks like a duck, it's a job interview. And they're liars when they say it's casual. There's nothing casual about it.
They're not liars.
No, it's okay.
I don't like that.
That's just
idea,
like saying,
but just
wait, that's just like saying that your very corporate office that does Mufti Day on Friday, that they're, oh, we're, it's casual today, things are casual. You're still expected to get all the crazy corporate work done. You're just wearing a fun shirt, okay? That's what that is.
Yeah. Yeah, it's their version of casual. It's interview casual. It's kind of like business casual where it's like, yeah, I'm still wearing a collared shirt and pants. Like it's not really very casual, is it? This is kind of like interview casual.
In case some people aren't familiar with the term mufti, it means like a casual dress day.
What is mufti? What does that mean?
I don't know.
Is this a thing? Do you know what I realized the other day? Op shop, like what we call a thrift shop or a secondhand shop or whatever, op shop is Australian and it came from Melbourne.
Really? Op shopping.
It's this woman who was fundraising and she, like, there were already thrift shops and they were kind of like seen as, you know, nobody goes there. And so she started rebranding them, opportunity shops, and it was a hit. And all kinds of people.
Plain or ordinary clothes, especially when worn by one who normally wears a uniform. So our dad growing up worked for the fire service and he wore a business outfit every day. But then on Fridays, he'd get ready and come out and emerge in normal clothes and we'd go, what's going on? And he'd go, it's mufti day. Every Friday was mufti day.
I don't remember that. I just remember what? You have an out of uniform day at school and you had to bring a gold coin donation because it was normally a fundraiser. Do you know what weirds me out? The idea of going to every single day of your life at school wearing just normal clothes.
Oh, harrowing scenes.
That is really disconcerting to me when I see school kids in Canada and they're just in regular clothes.
Yeah, that's why.
I'm like, you have to get dressed every day? You have to pick an outfit every day?
I know, the crash outs that would happen. I was crashing out over the seam in my socks in primary school. If I had to also pick an outfit that was cool and kept up and can't believe it.
Yeah, I don't know how they do it. Yeah, I whinged about my uniform. Like a little me would have loved to be able to wear whatever I wanted. But man, that was so easy.
Anyway, there's nothing casual about it. Prepare as normal. But don't be rigid. Be free-flowing. It's a chat. It's fluid. Pivot if needed.
Do you like the inception of how this episode was exactly that? We still got all the points across, but we definitely had a chit-chat.
Yes.
That's exactly the same thing. We've delivered this to you in information, but also by example. Mic drop. Thanks so much for listening to Interview Boss. If you like hearing the sound of our voices, follow us on Apple or Spotify or YouTube or wherever you're listening, or better yet, tell someone else about the show. That's how we can hit the charts and help even more people. For more advice, inspiration, savable content, behind the scenes stuff, follow us on Instagram at Interview Boss. Can you believe we started Interview Boss in 2021?
Not really. It's insane. That's a lot of episodes and a lot of hours of talking.
Oh my gosh, it is. And if you're scrolling through all of our episodes, you might scroll straight past something that you really, really needed.
Yes, we're always getting messages from people asking us to do an episode on something. And I'm like, we already have.
So we've put together playlists to help you find the episodes that are exactly what you need, suited to your situation.
They're all categorized. If you're applying for jobs, we have episodes about resumes, cover letters, job ads. If you've been offered your dream job, we have episodes on resigning, exit interviews, and how to impress at your new company.
And we even have a very special playlist that's very popular for if you have an interview coming up immediately and you need just our most recommended hard-hitting episodes between now and then.
For all our last-minute listeners. It's all there for you. You can browse by category and check out all the playlists at interviewboss.com.au/podcast.